Caleb Collier said,
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire. Welcome to the fire.
Today on Church and State, Elevation Church sure ain't elevating Jesus.
And a Baltimore Bridge collapse, how it impacts the economy and trucking.
Plus, Nephilim. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I'm your host, Caleb Collier. With me, as always, Pastor Gabe Blomgren. Once again, your favorite far-right shock jocks and the most schizophrenic show you listen to on a daily basis.
And the only show that's going to cover weird stuff like Nephilim and a bridge collapse, and then also faith and politics. So, yeah, we don't always cover just faith and politics. That's okay.
Sometimes it's Nephilim.
But, yeah, hey.
You know, people tease me about that. Like, I've got friends that, like...
Yeah. No. I almost got kicked out of a leadership position because somebody found my Genesis 6 Giants book and narked on me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you get kicked out? Like a church leadership?
Yeah, they didn't understand what it was about. They didn't understand the context and how it was biblical. This would be a good conversation to have
when we get to that story.
Gary Wayne.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We are interviewing Gary Wayne soon. All right. Hey, everyone, head over to churchandstate.media. And download this show. This is going to be a fun one. We also just had Tom Renz on Thursday. We're going to have Pastor Arthur Pulowski is going to join us again. So we got a lot of great content coming your way. Also, take advantage of all of our fine affiliates. And in honor of Chris, let's talk about beef. You like beef? I like beef. Chris doesn't like beef. But I actually threatened him yesterday that I was going to start paying him in beef.
That would be funny.
He'd starve.
We're going to pay him in beef jerky, which that's actual gold because, like, as you watch the economy just getting pummeled, everything's rising up in price. Have you seen what a pack of beef jerky costs?
It's crazy, man. It's
like you wild. Walk by the aisle of beef jerky and there's like a full security guard with a shotgun.
Yeah. But you know what? You can get really cheap bugs.
Yeah, of course, so Bill Gates. Bugs. And yes. Then you get your soy.
Hey, if you want to make sure treats. You don't eat bugs, Grid Down Chow Down, freeze-dried beef, 10 to 15-year shelf life. It's all grass-fed, grass-finished. It's organic. It is fantastic stuff. We're friends with the owners.
Jordan and Nace.
Yeah, awesome.
Both wearing guys. Beards.
Oh, they make Chris fully bearded. Look like he doesn't even have a beard.
And they are fit. These dudes eat good. Grass-fed, no hormones. It. Not genetically engineered.
None of this mRNA
hung
crap.
After it's processed so that you're not losing.
There's no water weight.
Water weight. Yeah. You know, just phenomenal deal. Please consider it. Buy the $750 pack. I tell everyone this because price per pound is the same as Mountain House from Amazon, which is already cooked. It's garbage. I've already also told you this. I went through the hassle of buying my own freeze dryer. Spent $5,000. I have one. It is too much work and it takes way too much time. I don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. We That's need right. that as far as a bud.
We do need that bud.
We need that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah, instead, we've got cool ones like this. This is a good one. When did you add that?
I've been busy. Well,
He-Man.
Yeah.
This is, dude, Chris, this was my favorite. This is my childhood. Yeah. So, but anyway,
I wasn't
get the
to
meat.
He-Man.
$750 get you the absolute best deal, pound per pound with Mountain House, Jeff Bezos crap. This is much better.
Use the promo code Church and State. Also, you can donate specifically to us. And I was talking about this on some of the previous shows. Gabe, you're with me on it, though. We are looking right now at moving to 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Because, all you ACN listeners, yeah. We've tried. We've tried twisting your arm. We're stepping back from 5 days a week. Why? Because we got to pay for it ourselves.
Yeah.
We literally pay for it.
Yeah, we've dropped a lot of our own cash over the years on Church and State. And so the call is, if you want to ensure that we stay on the American Christian Network 5 days a week, if you like listening to us, you got to pony up. So there's that donate button right there on the video, churchandstate.media. And then last but not least on that one, Church and State 1776 at proton.me. If you'd like to get a hold of us, we love your emails. All right, Gabe. Stephen Furtick's in some hot water again.
What?
Can you believe that? Are you shocked?
Such a handsome individual. How could he ever do anything wrong?
Well, he has. And here's what happened. All right. Elevation Church is facing considerable backlash because the church won't use words like resurrection on Easter invites. All right. Listen to this quote, okay? It's absolutely wild, okay? They're not going to use the resurrection They're not going to use his blood. So they're not going to talk about the blood of Jesus.
I do have to say this, though. It is pretty funny when you're getting like somebody who's not a Christian, and there's so much Christianese, would you not agree? Every once in a while when somebody who's not a Christian, oh, I just plead the blood of Jesus over your life.
Yeah, it's more of a Southern thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but we, it's covered by the blood.
Blood.
They have no idea what you're talking about.
They're not going to use the word Calvary either. And the reason behind this is because they don't want to offend unbelievers or non-believers.
Calvary is offensive?
Apparently so.
Where is this coming from? Have you really like vetted this?
Yes, there's numerous articles all over the place about the fact that this is what...
I wonder how this got leaked.
That's a good question.
You publicize this as a church?
They're claiming that during the church service, they might use those words, but for the invitation that's going out to over the community, they don't want to offend anyone, make people feel like they don't belong here, and so they're going to shy away from words like Calvary, resurrection, and the blood of Jesus. How do you have a resurrection day celebration without talking about those things?
Yeah, it's definitely, dude, this smells to me of a PR company who does this stuff. Because I was very close friends with the senior pastor at a church of about 10,000 members, and he hired a PR company, and they do stuff like this. This is literally what they do to get people in your doors. But then once you got them in your doors, essentially you trap them and do whatever you want. But still, eventually he moved away from that PR company. Whatever this is dumb. Because here's the thing. General Flynn keeps saying, and people in our lives keep saying, courage
is contagious.
Contagious.
Yeah. So be courageous.
Speak the truth.
Honestly. And what if you water down the message to this degree, what are you creating other than lukewarm Christians? And how does God react to lukewarm Christians? I believe the Bible tells us he spews them out of his mouth. He would prefer that they were rather hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, he spews you out of his mouth. I don't agree with this mindset.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing. Stephen Furtick writes a lot of songs, and
or does he just put his name on them?
He actually is a part of the writing. He's a contributor. One of the most famous songs that Brandon Lake's ever produced is the song Gratitude, and there's this part that says, oh, come on my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs, so get up and praise the Lord. How could taking the word Calvary off your invitation be anything like a lion? There's just nothing lion-like.
He may be like a lion, but he may be more like Scar from The Lion King.
To me, it's like, guys, you write these great songs, live them out. So
yeah,
I'm still,
I will say this though, Gabe, and I think I might've talked about this before on one of our previous episodes, but you and Stephen Furtick look quite alike. And I think that there's a possibility that something like this occurred.
In a secret lab somewhere in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh my God.
The perfect human specimen has been born. He has the strength of 10 men. And the wisdom of 20. He also has a twin brother.
Wow, a Danny twin brother. DeVito. So, I mean, people who watch this show know that I'm constantly building you up.
You call me Furtick.
Well, but I'm also constantly building you up. So clearly in this scenario, you are that baby that was born with the strength of 10 men and the intelligence of 20. But your twin brother over there, Stephen Furtick, he's just the twin.
Awesome. He's just the low budge version of me, is what you're saying?
Exactly. Dude, he's the leftovers.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said.
My friend over here, Pastor Gabe.
Do you have a way to show the actual human being?
But look at this, though. Yeah. I don't think people notice this, but I will take everybody in the audience to all those awards behind you two. Those are actually all the awards that Church and State has won over the years.
Nice.
Yes, that's right.
This is the actual you and me in the Country Music Hall of Fame, but that's cool.
Somehow I got dragged there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into the serious topics right now. And we've had a bridge collapse, Gabe. You and I wanted to kind of dissect this for the audience, for the radio audience. You really need to go on over to churchandstate.media to be able to see this video.
Yeah. What's interesting is the name of the bridge is Francis Scott Key. You know, mm-hmm. The writer of the Star Spangled Banner. This happened late Tuesday night, Caleb, and you're the one who brought it on my attention, on my radar. But the irony of this is this thing, if you're playing the video right now, this bridge, nearly 49, 100 trucks travel the bridge each day, with 28 billion in goods crossing every year. So the, as you see this collapse, this is the mouth of the exit from this port. And you're going to talk about the port here in a second, but so boats right now can't come out through the port. So this boat actually hit one of the pylons. It lost power completely, and you can see the lights go out. They come back on. The captain's, you can see tons of diesel, like, coughing.
He's trying to
get this thing to come back. But a lot of people are speculating that there was some type of
cyber attack
to this ship. It's a full-size cargo ship, massive ship. It hits this pylon, and Chris, watch what happens as this thing collapses.
Yeah, it absolutely pancakes down.
There's, you can see cars on it right now.
Yeah, there's cars on it. It's later at night, but still,
this happened about 1:40 in the morning.
A lot of people do suspect that this is a cyber attack. You can see clearly that the bridge or the ship loses power twice. Once it regains power the first time, it actually tries to correct its path, but it ends up just steering right into this bridge, and it goes down real quickly.
You can see the wave right there. A wave hits the pylon, and then boom, just down, completely pancaked. Now, right now, because the bridge being there as it is, no ships can get in or out of the port. Caleb, in a second here, tell us about the significance of this port, what comes in and out of it. But here's the thing. Not only is the port unable to get traffic through it because that down bridge, and of course they're looking for bodies as far as the human beings who are in cars. There is no way for it. Once, let's say, the trucks come in to pick up cargo, they have to be able to use that bridge to get on the interstate to deliver goods from that port, which will highly slow down. And of course, people are saying that this won't affect, this can be like, but Caleb, you saw some stuff. What are some of the things that come out of this port?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's by no means the largest port on the eastern seaboard, but they do engage in quite a bit of commerce. And so one of the major things that this port has handled is for automobiles. It's importing and exporting of major automobiles, including Nissan, Toyota, General Motors, Volvo, who even drives those anymore, Jaguar, Land Rover, and Volkswagen. And so this could potentially mean that we can't get those types of cars. Perhaps more interesting to me, though, is that this is the largest U.S. port by volume for handling farm and construction machinery, as well as agricultural products. So I think that, you know, and of course, the mainstream media has jumped all over this, because that was one of the questions immediately that everybody had, is what is this going to do for our economy that's just already struggling under Joe Biden's Bidenomics? And of course, the mainstream media has said this: shh, everything's okay.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Go back to sleep. Everything will be okay. You don't have to worry your pretty little heads about this. All right. The reality is this could have a dramatic effect on us. All right. We're seeing 3 million tons last year, including 1.2 million of sugar. Well, we probably don't need any more of that as Americans, but salt, gypsum, fertilizers, and forest products. All right. That could be disrupted from this. All right. So yes, there is a massive potential for this to be disruptive to our American way of life. And don't let the mainstream media pull the wool over your eyes on this issue.
And there's a unique thing about this, even though it's not the largest port, this is the largest roll-on roll-off port. So this is coming from Fleet Owner. This is a trucking website. It says, because only certain ports can accommodate roll-on roll-off cargo, and because the nation's largest roll-on roll-off port suddenly shut down, shippers will need to divert much of their cargo to further destinations. This diverted cargo will cause some congestion at other roll-on roll-off ports.
Could it also mean that the price would increase for said products? I don't know. Gabe, something else to mention on this. This is actually the second biggest port for, guess what? Coal. Oh, that could be damaging to the United States. Yes, indeed. In fact, how many of our major producers are still using coal plants, Gabe?
Yeah.
Even though the environment movement has come after these individuals, coal is still king in this country. And so, yeah, this is going to be horrifying for us, I think.
So this is where we get the tinfoil on. Before we jump over to Nephilim, so the thing you need to think right now is, why did this happen? And it was it just an accident? Hey, this guy was drinking, you know, a few, you know,
Exxon,
Red Stripe, you know, beers, and they fell asleep at the wheel. No, it doesn't work like that. All of our cargo vessels are pretty much automated at this point. They have the most dynamic GPS systems, and every single thing, the captain doesn't even steer. So what you need to understand is for it to hit a key pylon is not an accident. It's absolutely intentional.
I completely agree with your assessment on
that. So this is the connection to me. The Russian City Hall event, which 24 hours, 48 hours ago, before this had happened, Vladimir Putin,
the opera there?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Vladimir Putin went on record and clandestine, a guy that I follow, his newsletter basically said that we can expect retaliation, you know. While I key up this video, go ahead.
Well, Putin on record stated that, yes, are they going after the individuals who actually pulled the trigger? For sure. But he wants to find out who actually set these guys up, you know, who took the hornet's nest and was the person who actually took it and threw it in the bedroom, right? And he's looking at it and saying the U.S. has had a very long history of using Islamic fundamentalists, these radical terrorists, in order to foment insurrection, terror, whatever, all across the world. And so he is looking squarely at the CIA for the people who actually engaged these terrorists.
Yeah, this is the quote. It's very brief. Putin says that radical Islamics carried out the attack, but he now wants to know who ordered it. He claims that this was a part of Kiev's regime attack on Russia. Given that the Western intelligence has been the financiers of global Islamic terror for decades, suspect number one would be the CIA. No matter how you slice it, the U.S. are somewhat responsible for this attack, whether it was ISIS acting alone, Ukraine acting alone, or NATO allies or the CIA themselves. All of them belong to the same entity, and all of them answer to the same masters, all funded by the U.S. taxpayer, all tentacles of the same aspect. The Biden regime, which is really the extension of the Obama regime, by some layers of separation, are responsible for the attack, and Putin knows it. So, guys, this is very interesting time. Because we obviously know we've put through our own finance a much very priced a dollar tag that we can't even right now really fully understand how much money we've spent on the Ukraine war. Stinger missiles, tanks, bulletproof armor, all of that.
Not to mention the Nord Stream pipeline attack.
Yes.
I mean, the Russians have been itching to get us back for that one.
So now Putin, could he have been the one behind this? I don't know. It doesn't, to me, all I know is everyone grab your buns cheeks, buy yourself some storable meat.
Yeah. That's well said. Look, we, and I think I said this on one of our just previous shows, we don't necessarily know the facts. We don't have somebody behind the scenes that is feeding us this information, but we know enough to never believe what the media tells us.
Do not trust the media.
And so I'm always looking at these stories and trying to piece things together. I know you do this as well, about what's actually going on here. And with Putin releasing this, the attack that just occurred with terrorists shooting up a bunch of Russians, what, 100 and something people died there. And now this occurs. And Gabe brought up a great point. These ships, it's not like it was a mistake of the captain. No, these things are programmed. And so if there's a cyber attack here, obviously, it could have taken hold of this and steered it.
Let's talk about that shooting just for a second. Play that video as we're just having some banter about that. I know we have lots of time to talk about the Nephilim, but look at this video, Caleb. I want you to notice something very interesting. Go ahead and push play. So those people to the left, they're open firing in. Those are human beings. They're just firing into right now. So they are not operating as some type of team. There's just
no.
Pause it just for a second. Those guys were not operating like true SWAT. There was a guy who literally had a backpack and it was full of ammo. And those four just began opening up at random. There was nothing tactical about whatsoever. And of course, none of them died as far as laid down their own lives sacrificially. Whenever you see somebody who's radicalized, whether it's Islam or even, you know, your home grown crazies, they usually want to die for their cause. Not one of these guys died.
Well, and especially, I mean, these individuals
shows their hired hands.
I don't think they're stupid. So you know that if you're caught by the Russians, the short time of life that you have left is going to be in utter pain.
Did you hear what they did?
Torment. Yeah, they cut off one of the guy's ears.
And made him eat it.
Yes.
They made him eat his own ear. And the dude is crying.
Yeah.
Grown man is crying. So, like, I think what we're seeing is hired hands. And here's another thing is on Telegram. I don't know if you heard that. They were hired on Telegram.
Yes.
A secretive app. So none of these guys had any, like, uniqueness, not like there were special operators or anything. This completely smells of a CIA operation.
100% agree. And with that, let's move on over to both of our favorite subjects.
Yeah,
you know, Gabe and I have talked a lot about giants, the Nephilim, on this show. It's one of our hobbies. It's something that we've both been fascinated.
We're gonna have Gary Wayne on the show pretty soon. Here, he's coming up in May, and we also have and we're in talks to have Steve Quayle, the
Steve
guy.
Steve Quayle, yeah, we've been in talks really with bringing him on as well. So I wanted to bring up a lesser known book. Most people, when they start talking about the Nephilim, if they have any interest in this, they're of course going to talk about the Book of Enoch. And what occurred there. Now, all of us, we also point to Genesis 6:4 as proof that this is indeed biblical. It's not something you should be kicked out of
as in the days of Noah,
right? When you almost got removed as church leadership because of Nephilim. Yeah. But one of the books that a lot of people are unfamiliar with is the Book of Giants. And this is a book that was found in the Qumran Caves. Now, Gabe and I have both been there at separate times. Ugly, ugly little area there, right? Like, this isn't a vacation spot, is it?
No, it's dry. One of the driest places on Earth. In fact, that's why these scrolls survived, because they were preserved without having any moisture or mold.
Yes, but they found fragmented sections of this Book of Giants. Now, before you dismiss it, understand that the individuals who lived in this area and preserved these scripts, these texts, that they had the Bible there as well. There it wasn't just like this cult that had emerged and they only had the Book of Enoch and the Book of Giants and Jubilee and Jasher, things like that. No.
They had all of this.
All of this and all of the Bible as well.
And they were constantly criticizing the Pharisees who were not living it out. These guys were doing their very best to live it out.
Yeah, I mean, most of the works here were highly significant to the Jewish community of that time. All right, well, the Book of Giants, it describes actually what happened here. It's written in Aramaic, all right, and it talks about the fallen angels and human sins and the punishment of the giants. It talks about the birth of these giants through these fallen angels, which are called the Watchers, the angels that are called the Watchers, and human women, which is exactly what Genesis 6:4 describes. I don't want to hear about your Seth lineage ideas. I think that's completely false.
The lineage of Seth is a complete, that is not the true right answer, because you have to ask yourselves, okay, how could a child of so-called Seth be a man of renown, which the word is Gibor or Giborim? Like, that word means mighty one of renown. And it also says they were on the earth in those days. Well, why wouldn't they be, like, obviously Seth's kids would keep going, right? When they continue to go, why would Seth's kids not keep going?
Well, and just a logical question on this, why would the lineage of Seth, a human being, mate with other human beings and create giants?
And be
giants?
A sin.
I mean, why would it be a sin, but why would it also be creating giants? I could see the argument for the sin because, you know, there were times in the Old Testament where, you know, God's chosen people were not told, they were told specifically not to intermarry with other races and things. Mm-hmm. I can get that part of it. But why would they breed giants out of this? It doesn't make sense.
If it's regular Sethite genes, then no, that shouldn't happen. Then also later on, you know, you see Peter talk about when the angels left their heavenly estate. They left their heavenly estate because they mated with humans.
Exactly. So the book describes how the Nephilim lived on Earth, suggesting they were mighty, fearsome race, absolutely gigantic in stature, notably taller and stronger than ordinary humans, but they also possessed exceptional abilities and capabilities both physically and intellectually. So these individuals, being half angel, were smarter than us.
Yeah, they taught metallurgy, they taught necromancy, they taught using pharmakia, which is the root cutting. That actual word pharmakia begins back in this time. One of the other things that's really crazy, not ironic whatsoever, is they taught women how to abort their own babies and to wear makeup.
Mm-hmm. And that all comes from the Book of Enoch.
Yes. It's very interesting that, you know, maybe it's Maybelline. No, maybe it's Nephilim. You ever thought about that?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, sorry. That was a freebie.
Yeah, that was good. All right. Okay. And this is abortion why this came is from why them. You're the better twin of the Furtick or Blomgren twins.
Why?
Because of things like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, so it's just my brain. We do random.
All right. The Book of Giants also accounts how the Nephilim introduced war, violence, and corruption to humanity. They also taught humans forbidden practices such as magic, divination, and sorcery, and they consumed flesh and blood of their fellow humans. They engaged in cannibalistic practices.
So which we see all throughout Native American history. We see all throughout the Aztecs. We see all of these people keep getting their homes taken away, whether it's the Hopi or it's crazy. Okay. Why? Because big redheaded people are eating their kids.
Yes. It also describes in the Book of Giants, it describes the Nephilim as destructive and morally corrupt beings. Now in the Book of Enoch, it calls them walking abortions, actually, is the translation there.
And even elaborates that their children were so big that the women actually died either in labor or in gestation. These babies were so massive that it would kill the woman. Just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, widespread violence and lawlessness. They oppressed and enslaved humanity. That sounds just like the devil to me. It sounds like exactly what he's trying to do currently. The book also, interestingly enough, introduces the very known legendary character, Noah. All right. So we see through this in the Book of Giants that Noah plays a prominent role in this book. And the narrative of the giants ties in with the biblical flood story in which the wickedness of the Nephilim and other nefarious entities led God to cleanse the earth. Now, this is something that you and I have talked about a lot on this show.
The very issue of his genes.
Yes, it Nephilim says it was blameless. Genes.
He says no, blameless in his generations, which a lot of people think, oh, he only drank one Miller Lite periodically and, you know, he didn't hit his family or kids. No, that's not what it means. It actually, it's an inference of his generational DNA being clean. Why? Because in that same story, if those of you who want to read this, it's very interesting. Noah encounters a little situation. His kids and his wife are even questioned because there's at some point when Noah's born, his father was worried because Noah, his eyes shone and they were worried that he may have had some type of tie back to the Nephilim. Maybe his mom had slept with so-and-so. So guys, this, their generations were clean, even so much that Enoch worried Noah could have been one of these Nephilim. So it's, you guys got to read this stuff, not for entertainment, but for understanding. Okay.
Especially in the times that are coming, because
the Bible said it'd be as in the days of Noah.
Exactly. And here's the thing that I want to get to you as we're closing down the show. The Bible is amazing. The stories that are written in here, there is so much more to it than what you commonly hear in American churches where they just go through maybe the Gospels. Get in, pour into the Bible, start reading this thing because I guarantee you're going to be absolutely amazed, encouraged, and enlightened.
Absolutely. Come on. It is the honor of kings to search out a matter. It's the glory of God to hide it.
Amen. Church and State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church.
I'm Pastor Gabe. A calm does not suit me.
I'm Caleb Collier. I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.
With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together and they're all doing a gold-backed currency. The United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver because that is the currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to BH-PM.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to BH-PM.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com.
The doctor that I'm
recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Signups is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want, and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself, or maybe even a doctor for your family, or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsignups.com. You for sure need to mention church and state when you go to officialsignups.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry, your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled, and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a two-for-one there. You know you've wanted a good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Church and State.
CHURCHANDSTATE. That's Church and State.
You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat that's been freeze-dried, it's been processed by actual human beings, go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code CHURCHANDSTATE. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14:2.
This was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Everybody, it's an honor to be with you.